Hey, welcome back to the Amber May Show. I'm Amber May, and lots to talk to you about. A lot of things that went down with between yesterday and today, and we need to get into the middle of that. But before we get started, I want you to click the links below. Make sure you like, subscribe, and share, or Rumble, or whatever it's called. Make sure you do that, because a lot of information's coming down. But I want to make sure you have your legacy wealth intact and ready to go, especially if you become ill or injured. Because if you become ill or injured or terminally ill, you're probably not working. And if you're not working, you only have so much vacation time. So let me take that pressure off you, bring some income in while you're ill or injured, and everything will be just fine. You won't have the pressures of how are we going to pay the bill. You won't go into bankruptcy, foreclosure. I want to help you build legacy wealth for your children. So if you're looking at something, what can I do for my kids' future? Check the video below, check the link below, and let's have a conversation, okay? And I want to show you how to get tax-free retirement. Tax-free retirement. Hey, and if you're into natural health, check out my essential oils. I love them. They've helped quite a bit. So check that out. Because you guys get ready for this news that's coming your way today. A lot to talk about. And so let me first start on COVID-19. Guys, it's over. It's over. They keep wanting to keep you telling you that it's not over. Folks, this happened in 2020. We're halfway through 2021. A pandemic means it went like global, right? There are so many countries that had the virus, and it happens to flu all the time, right? So, in a pandemic, a lot of people got the virus. We all saw the numbers, right? Every day they would fearmonger us and show us the numbers and more people and more people and more people and more people. And the death tolls, they showed us all of that, right? So, if the majority of people, we saw it on the news, okay, got the virus, then we are in herd immunity. And they want to tell you we're not in herd immunity. And let me show you why they want to tell you we're not in herd immunity. Now, this comes from Australia. Let's see. Check this video out. Oh, let me turn on my sound really quick. Hold on. Listen to this.
Has the most minimal of symptoms, get tested.
Today is the first full day of the new world order. Outdoor gatherings are limited to two people. Exercise is allowed, but no further than a 10-kilometer radius from your home. Browsing in shops is not permitted. Only one person per household may leave to do essential shopping. And from tomorrow, funerals are limited to 10 people.
And the length of this lockdown is up to each and every one of us.
Steve Hart for 10 News First.
So, did you hear the New World Order? You know, I just remember growing up and hearing past presidents keep talking about the New World Order. So, reporter Steve Hart from the South New South Wales TV station 10 News First reported to Australian viewers that today is the first full day of the New World Order. And he was dolefully reported the draconian lockdowns and loss of freedom of once a proud and free citizen. And this happened also. If you watch Rebel News, Rebel News talks about the police, the churches that are being burnt down, and how they're trying to get rid of people going to worship. So it's insane. It's insane. They're using this to usher in the New World Order. Because I just remember past presidents keep talking about the New World Order. I don't want a new world order. I think when God gave this country to our founding fathers and he inspired them to write the Constitution of the United States, that was in its perfection. Not that everything written down was in its perfection, but the fact that God was speaking to these men to write down a wonderful nation for us to be a part of, God's hand was in it. And if God's hand was in it, then it's good. It's a good thing. So further, there's more stuff to come down the pipes. Let me talk to you about some more things coming down. Let's see. I want to talk about the president released a letter. President Trump released a letter from the U.S. attorney who claimed that Attorney General Barr told him not to investigate the 2020 election. So there's a letter from a U.S. attorney who claimed that Attorney General Barr told him not to investigate the 2020 election. So let me share with you this letter and all my articles aside from that one with the New World Order is coming from Gateway Pundit today. So this came out yesterday, actually, and I wanted to share it with you. Let me read the letter. The letter's down here, and I freaking love Scribe because they get us all the good stuff. Court documents, Republic court documents. It's perfect. So this comes from William McSwain. He was a U former U.S. Attorney. And he said, "Dear Mr. President, it was my great honor to serve you as U.S. Attorney for the East District of Pennsylvania in your administration. You asked me to prioritize public safety, and that is exactly what I did. While Larry Krancer, the radical left Philadelphia District Attorney, was letting violent criminals go and refusing to prosecute rioters, looters, arson, our office was putting them in jail and standing up for law-abiding citizens. In the spring of 2020, I persecuted and won an election fraud case against a judge of elections in South Philadelphia who was stuffing the ballot box. I also charged the political consultant, a former Democratic congressman who was paying bribes to the judge to stuff the ballot box. President Trump, you were right to be upset about the way the Democrats ran the 2020 election in Pennsylvania. It was a partisan disgrace. The governor, the secretary of the Commonwealth, and the partisan state Supreme Court made up their own rules and did not follow the law. Even worse, the state attorney general, Josh Shapiro, the very person responsible for the enforcement of the state election laws. Now, let me get this right, guys. The attorney general is the supreme law enforcement officer of the state, okay? Excuse me, we've had fires galore in Arizona, so pardon me. The very person responsible for the enforcement of the state election laws declared days before election days that you could not win the election. Declared. This is the attorney general, okay? The attorney general of the state, the supreme law enforcement officer of the state, declared days before election day that you could not win the election. It would be hard to imagine a more irresponsible statement from a law enforcement officer, especially during a hotly contested election, in light of such statement. It is hardly surprising that many Pennsylvanians lack faith in our state election results. Same thing happened in Maricopa. On election day and afterwards, our office received various allegations of voter fraud and election irregularities. As part of my responsibility as U.S. Attorney, I wanted to be transparent with the public and, of course, investigate fully any allegations according to General Barr. However, instructed me not to make any public statements or put out any press releases regarding possible election irregularities. And I was also given a direct to pass along serious allegations to State Attorney General for investigation." Oh, the same state attorney that told him that Donald Trump wasn't going to win? Interesting. I disagree with that decision, but those were my orders. As a Marine infantry officer, I was trained to follow the chain of command and respect the orders of my superiors, even when I disagree with them. Mr. President, public service is in my blood, and I'd like to serve the people of Pennsylvania and restore the conservative leadership in our state, and I will be the Republican candidate for governor with the best chance to win the general election in November 2022. Based on my background and experience, I am uniquely positioned to defeat Mr. Shapiro, the likely Democrat candidate, and would welcome the chance to discuss this with you. I'd be honored to have your support. Once again, once elected governor, one of my first priorities would be to modernize Pennsylvania's election process and protect the rights of all Pennsylvania citizens to cast a legitimate vote. That means no ballot harvesting, updated ballots, unsigned ballots, ballots collected after Election Day, other than the legitimate military and overseas absentee ballots. obstacles to poll watchers observing the counting of ballots, different rules in different counties, and of course, no ballot stuffing of any kind, as I previously prosecuted. It also means responsible voter ID legislation, ensuring people's confidence in elections, should be a nonpartisan issue. In short, we have a responsibility to make it easy to vote, but hard, if not impossible, to cheat. And this is how we respect the will of the people and how the best and most deserving candidate wins. That is some powerful letter. You know, sometimes when we're in a position of authority, just like this U.S. attorney, or if you're a police officer or military, if you took an oath of office to protect, you know, the citizens, sometimes you cannot go along with these orders. This man knew that the orders he was receiving were horrible orders, and he still complied. And sometimes I'm just following orders ends up not being good enough. In World War II, those soldiers probably said, I'm just following orders. But they tortured a lot of people. They had horrible scientific experiments done on people. Horrible. And then they put them in concentration camps on top of it. Cannibal Island. I just learned about this. Cannibal Island. You need to look that up in World War II. Cannibal Island. I mean, I'm just following orders. At some point, you have to take responsibility and say, I'm not going to follow corrupt orders. Not going to follow corrupt orders. People have power of leadership when people follow those people. But when we start saying no and using our own voice, those people no longer have power. And if they no longer have power, then bad things can't happen to good people. Okay, so there's more stuff to share today. Oh, these fires. Like when Arizona gets summertime in triple digits, we literally blow up in flames. Literally. It just combusts. We have like two fires. The air quality is so bad in Arizona. Let's see. What else did I want to share with you? There was a lot. Okay. Yes. Let's talk about this. Voter GA released explosive new report. Fulton County, Georgia recount included 60% error reporting rate. Thousands of fraudulent Biden votes. On Monday night, Garland Favorito, the founder of the election integrity group Voter GA, announced that he will hold a press conference on Tuesday morning. Voter GA will review highlights of its amended ballot inspection complaint and provide proof that election fraud occurred in November 2020. The press conference will start at 10:30. Garland told the Gateway Pundit on Monday that he expects the news to be on the Bannon War Room report, which probably already happened because this is already Tuesday. Tuesday morning, Voter GA sent out a statement of their findings before the press conference, and the Voter Integrity Group found that Fulton County, Georgia recount included 60% error reporting rate. So here's election. I want to share this letter with you so you can see this. You can find this letter on the Gateway Pundit. But it was a letter. It was actually a press release from Garland Favorito, and he explained what he found in his in the audit. So what it says is Atlanta, Georgia petitioners in a lawsuit organized by Voter GA to inspect Fulton County ballots have added stunning claims in their amended complaint and provided new evidence from public record that shows Fulton County's hand count audit of the November 3rd, 2020 election was riddled with massive errors and provable fraud. Most new allegations and evidence are based on a Voter GA data's team's analysis of Fulton's November 2020 mail-in ballot images made public after a petition won a court order on April 13th. Now, I want to pause that for a second because the lie we keep hearing is it's baseless claims, and all the judges have ruled against any voter fraud claims, which isn't true. We had Atrium County, Michigan, a judge ruled and listened to Matt DiPerno, And Matt DiPerno showed a lot of voter fraud. Arizona, we had judges that agreed with the Senate to be able to conduct the audit. And now we're in Georgia, and now this judge has allowed them to look at some ballots. So the lie is no judges are allowing this to happen. That's not true. It's happening. They just won't let you hear about it in the mainstream media. So the team's analysis revealed that 923 of 1,539 mail-in ballots, batch files contain votes incorrectly reported in Fulton's official November 3rd, 2020 results. But I thought it was free and fair. That's what I thought. Okay, so these inaccuracies are due to discrepancies in votes for Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and the total votes cast compared to the reported audit totals for respective batches. Thus, the error reporting rate in Fulton County's hand count audit is a whopping 60%. What are we going to find in Arizona? This is one county in Georgia. And they found 60% error. What are we going to find in Arizona? One type of error discovered involved duplicate results reporting for batches of ballots. The team found at least 36 batches of mail-in ballots and 4,255 total extra votes were redundantly added into Fulton County's audit results for the November election. These illicit votes included 3,390 extra votes for Joe Biden, 865 extra votes for Donald Trump, and 43 extra votes for Joe Jorgensen. But it is not simply a case of errors. The voter GA team found seven falsified audit tally sheets combining fabricated vote totals for their respective batches. For example, a batch containing 59 actual ballot images for Joe Biden, 42 Donald Trump, and zero for Joe Jorgensen was reported as 100 for Biden, zero for Trump, the seven batches of ballot images with 554 votes for Joe Biden, 140 votes for Donald Trump, 11 for Jorgensen, had tally sheets in the audit falsified to show 850 votes for Biden, zero votes for Trump, and zero votes for Jorgensen. That is freaking incredible. Fulton County failed to include over 100,000 tally sheets, including more than 50,000 from mail-in ballots when the results were originally published for a hand count audit conducted by the Office of the Secretary of State for the November 3rd election. Those tally sheets remained missing until late February when the county supplemented their original audit results. Petitioners contend that Fulton County did not provide Dropbox transfer forms for at least 3 pickup days. When obligated to do so, an open records request, those missing forms are still needed to provide chain of custody proof for about 5,000 ballots. The voter GA team also found over 200 Fulton County mail-in ballots images containing votes not included in the hand count audit results for the November election. All these anomalies are now included in the Fulton County ballot inspection lawsuit as additional counts of how the equal protection and due process constitutional rights of Georgia voters were violated. That is some stuff. That is some stuff. Wow. But it was a free and fair election, guys. Free and fair. But that's not where the story ends, guys. The Georgia corrupt Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger ignored evidence, attacked President Trump, and certified fraudulent election results. Georgia's results from a small sample of ballots in the state show massive fraud, yet Georgia's Secretary of State claimed this was a legitimate election. Here's a small sample of the articles we published about Georgia's corrupt Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger since the 2020 election. And Gateway Pundit noted that in January, implementation of software right before the 2020 election went against election law in the state. The audits used to certify the election machines before the election likely were not certified at the time he claimed they were. The auditors used to certify the election machines before the election likely were not certified at the time he claimed. So, after his claims that audits of Georgia's machines and elections were performed by a certified auditor, that came into question. On election night, Raffensperger and his attorney knew the ballots were being forced through ballot machines in Fulton County multiple times. Raffensperger's action against President Trump, who held a call with Raffensperger, where Trump presented the numbers of known issues with Georgia's results, were reprehensible. Raffensperger announced an investigation of President Trump's action in Georgia, knowing he himself lied about the call and attempted to destroy the evidence. And when an audit of ballots in Fulton County, Georgia was requested from the court, Raffensperger tried to stop it. Raffensperger recently started a campaign against whistleblowers, and Raffensperger reportedly hid ballot tampering from a judge. It's no surprise that the issues were found in Georgia, and it's also no surprise that Raffensperger is trying to cover it up. So I wonder when he is going to see some of his time behind bars, because that is awful. Last but not least, did you know this? Texas House votes to send law enforcement to arrest Democrats who fled the state to block GOP from passing voting laws. Did you know this happened? Oh my goodness. What is up with the Democrat Party? The Texas House of Representatives on Tuesday voted to send law enforcement to arrest the Democrat lawmakers for fleeing the state and blocking the GOP from passing voting laws. The chamber approved asking law enforcement to arrest Democrats who walked around to regain a quorum. The ABC 13 reporter Nick Natero said Democrats also face other penalties like losing leadership roles. This was a Twitter feed. If House Democrats don't return, they face being arrested. The chamber approved asking law enforcement to arrest Democrats who walked around to regain a quorum. Democrats also face other likely penalties and losing leadership roles. Here, let me play this for you.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the Sergeant at Arms or officers appointed by him send for all absentees who in attendance is not excused for the purpose of securing and maintaining their absence under warrant of arrest if necessary.
Members, you heard the motion, so turn it to ballots. The question of record vote, clerk ring the bell.
All members vote.
There being 76,004 nays, the motion is adopted. Members, the Sergeant at Arms and any officer appointed by him are directed to send for all absentees whose attendance is not excused for the purpose of securing and maintaining their attendance under warrant of arrest if necessary. Members, under the rules, while the House is under a call, any member who wishes to leave the hall must have the written permission of the Speaker. The House. Mr. General, for what purpose?
Parliamentary inquiry.
Please state your inquiry.
Rule 5, Section 6 of the House.
Dang. Early Tuesday morning, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said that Democrat lawmakers who left the state to impede the Republicans' quorum to convene a special legislative session on an election reform bill will be arrested when they return. At least 58 Democrat members of the State House of Representatives fled Texas and headed to Washington, D.C. to block Republicans from advancing new voting laws through a special session of the legislature. The new bills, House Bill 3 and Senate Bill 1, will add new ID requirements for mail-in voting and ban some early voting. Floor votes on both bills were expected to take place this week, but Democrats are fleeing in private jets to block the measures. Democrats took a private plane, something most of the constituents can only dream of, and the Democrats bought their own booze, another perk for the elitist lawmakers, and the Democrats are all maskless, something every American must wear on an airplane. Speaking of airplanes, guys, it's time to start taking the flight to the airlines. We need to get with David Jose and Josh Barnett, start writing affidavits and start saying, no, we're not going to continue wearing masks. If it's good enough for these Democrat lawmakers to fly, even on a private jet without a mask, why do we need to do this? This is, again, New World Order. What's good for the elitists, the Marxists, is not good for you and I. So we need to start taking our fight to the airlines. And frankly, we need to stop wearing them. This is not science. Masks are not science. We read those in Dr. Fauci's emails that masks don't stop viruses. They're too small for the masks. It only stops really gross particles from like coughing or sneezing, but nothing about the virus itself. And there's been a lot of studies done to show masks do not have efficacy. So it's now to start taking our fight to the airplanes. So I like how they said it's something most constituents can only dream of. Do you and I have enough money to rent a private plane to go anywhere? No. These people had a dereliction of duty. They were supposed to be representing their people that they were supposed to serve in a special session, and these people refused to serve we the people of Texas, and they decided to do their own trip instead of serving we the people who they were supposed to be in special session with, and they had booze and no masks. So there you go. There you go. If you are a flight attendant, stop enforcing a stupid rule. Stop enforcing something that goes against science. They don't pay you enough to enforce it. Let people have their good vacation time. Live and let live. It's not your job to enforce that. It's not a rule. It's not a law. A mandate is not a law. You don't have to. It's we the people. We are the government, not them. We tell the government what to do. They don't tell us what to do. It's not science. They can't show a scientific study. Dr. Fauci never once last year showed a scientific study that masks work about stopping the spread of COVID-19. All of their shenanigans did not work spreading the COVID-19. The lockdowns didn't work. The masks didn't work. If they did, if those things did, we all lost our thinking brain last year because of the fear and 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 all the death tolls. CNN was like, these are the best ratings. We have to keep doing fear. And that was from Project Veritas. And I have other videos that I talked about and showed where CNN came out and said, we're using fear because it's driving our ratings. They don't care about you and me. They care about the ratings. And so last year we saw the numbers keep spiking up, 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 up. People were doing the masks. People were staying home 6 feet apart. Where is the signs with 6 feet apart? How do they know it's 6 feet apart? How do they know it's not three and a half feet apart? How do they know it's not 7 feet? How do they know it's not 6.5 feet? What study was done to show it's 6 feet apart? I just want to know. They said follow the signs, but they don't show the science. How do we follow a science we don't even see? Anyways, if those measures worked, we would have had a pandemic, but they didn't work. We tried it and it failed. So those are not, that was not follow the science. That was follow what I make up to keep you in the New World Order. That's what I have for you today. You have a fantastic rest of your day.